Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, Julio Urias did not win the Cy Young Award. He didn't even finish second. We're going to talk about how that's kind of ridiculous. We're going to talk about some potential tampering in free agency by some non-Dodger teams and a few other things. So that's what's on tap. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe wherever you're watching or listening right now, and then you'll never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time watching or listening, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Semperio. We are doing a split episode today, so it will be me for the first half and Vince for the second half. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you are. We've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room. So we're not quite insiders, but we bring you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. And if you're watching on YouTube, you may notice that I look a little different tonight. I am battling a wicked head cold and giving me major headaches. And so if I look up, you can see in the reflection of my glasses, that ring light there. Yeah, that's really bright and hurts my head. So that's why I'm wearing sunglasses in my office at 10 o'clock at night and wearing a hoodie because I'm really, really cold and I feel like garbage. And so, but I really do enjoy talking Dodgers with you guys. So hopefully my voice will hold out. And that's why when I messed up the intro and said on top instead of on tap, normally I would have just hit stop and start over. I ain't got the energy for that. We're going to get through this episode though. Julio Urias, the Cy Young voting came out on Wednesday. No surprise, Sandy Alcantara won the Cy Young Award in the National League. I've talked about it a lot on this podcast. Vince and I both have. I think that's how I would have voted if I had had a vote. I think Alcantara's quantity edge more than made up for Julio's quality edge. So for me, Julio would have been second on my ballot. Alcantara got all 30 first place votes. Everybody agreed Alcantara was the best pitcher in the National League. The crazy thing is Julio finished in third place in the voting, and that doesn't make sense to me. And when you look at the Max Fried finished second, and Fried had 10 second place votes. Julio had seven. Julio had 9 third place votes. Fried had 7. The crazy thing is if you add up the votes, only 16 out of the 30 voters thought that Julio was one of the 3 best pitchers in the league. This is the guy who led the league in ERA. And yeah, he didn't throw nearly as many innings as Alcantara did. The innings gap between him and Fried was much smaller. It was about 10 innings, which I guess is something, but it's, you know, for me, didn't even come close to making up the quality difference. Julio was a better pitcher than Max Fried this year. Fried's very good, would have been a deserving third place finisher, but he finished 6 points ahead of Julio in the voting. Because, you know, so the 14 people who didn't even have Julio in their top 3 is one thing. 8 people didn't list Julio on their 5-man ballot at all. 8 voters thought that there were 5 pitchers better than Julio in the National League this year. And you look at some of these guys who got votes. Yu Darvish got 3 fourth place votes and a fifth place vote. Yu was good, but he wasn't top 3, wasn't better than Julio. Edwin Diaz got a second place vote and 2 fifth place votes. Like, come on. He's a relief pitcher. Kyle Wright, he won 20 games, so he got a fourth place vote and a fifth place vote. Logan Webb got a fourth place. Ryan Helsley got a fifth place, another reliever. It's like 8 people said Julio was not one of the 5 best pitchers in the National League this year. It's ridiculous. Just, you know, I tried to temper people's expectations because we knew that Julio wasn't going to win the award. And I don't even think it's a sign of disrespect that he didn't win the award. You know, I didn't think he deserved to win it last year, even though he's only 20 game winner in the league. I thought he finished 7th. I thought that was about right. I thought he was, you know, somewhere between the 6th and 8th best pitcher in the league last year. This year, I think he was pretty clearly the second best pitcher in the league, or the best pitcher, but, you know, by quality, but the quantity thing, I understand Alcantara, you know, was almost as good for a lot more innings. So it makes sense. And I think what people are looking at, I think they're looking at WAR. And in general, I like WAR as a stat, even though there are multiple versions of it. Where I have issues with it when it comes to pitchers, A, there's two different versions. There's the Baseball Reference version and the Fangraphs version. Baseball Reference uses runs allowed in their WAR calculation, whereas Fangraphs uses FIP. FIP is fielding independent pitching, which only looks at strikeouts, walks, and home runs. And so it basically says, what should your ERA have been based on the things that you can control, which are strikeouts, walks, and home runs? That's FIP. That's what Fangraphs uses in their calculation. Baseball Reference uses runs allowed, not earned runs allowed, but runs allowed, which means Julio, who allowed 9 unearned runs this year, and some of them, you remember, there was that in Colorado, his first start of the season, I think, Chris Taylor just missed that fly ball in left field, led to 3 runs. Yeah. Those count against Julio in WAR. There was another one where against the Phillies, he got a ground ball that should have been the third out of the inning. It was an error, and then the next guy hit a home run. 3 unearned runs, and you know, yeah, one of those runs, yeah, the home run, that guy's going to score anyway, but should have been a solo home run leading off the next inning. So at least 2 of those runs. You know, it's like unearned runs exist for a reason. I understand the idea, and you know, basically the idea is pitchers ought to be able to limit damage, and that shows the quality of a pitcher. But you are dinging a pitcher for his defense's struggles if you're counting runs allowed. And so both versions of WAR, while they might tell you, and I think this is where I get down to it, there's predictive stats and there's descriptive stats. And WAR is a predictive stat. I believe that for the most part, you can look at Fangraphs WAR with FIP and all that stuff and say, you know what? The guys who led the league in WAR, that's who I expect to be the best pitchers next year. But the Cy Young Award is a descriptive award. It is, how did they do this last year? It's not who's going to be better next year. It's how did they do? And if you look at it from an extreme standpoint, say there's a game, 2 pitchers pitching. One guy pitches a no-hitter, walks 2 guys, and strikes out 8 and pitches no-hitter. The other guy gives up 11 hits, no walks, 12 strikeouts, 7 runs. I think we'd all agree the guy who threw the no-hitter had a better game, right? Well, the other guy had a better FIP that game because he didn't walk anybody, he didn't give up any home runs, and he had more strikeouts. So his FIP was better. That's an extreme example. You know, it's doubtful that a guy would be allowed to stay in the game to give up that many hits and that many runs. And with that many strikeouts, that's way too many pitches, all that. But the point is that FIP doesn't describe who pitched better. It says, who do we think is a better pitcher going forward? Who do we think had more? But with Cy Young, it's who had the better season. And so it seemed like a lot of these voters just looked at the WAR leaderboards and voted accordingly, or at least some of them just got ridiculous. You know, nobody looking at a WAR leaderboard is going to vote for a reliever because relievers can't accumulate enough WAR because they don't pitch enough innings and they don't deserve Cy Young awards in general. But yeah, I feel like in this case, yeah, Julio was disrespected for whatever reason, the innings pitch, you know, his strikeout rate wasn't crazy high. It's kind of weird that it was Fried that finished ahead of him because Fried had a lower strikeout rate. He did have a lower home run rate. You know, if Julio did struggle in an area this year, it was the home runs he allowed. But the bottom line is home runs, the runs are accounted for in those home runs. And so he led the league in ERA despite giving up more home runs than Max Fried. That tells me that he was a better pitcher than Max Fried. And when there was only a 10-inning gap between the two, just it's kind of crazy. And if he had been listed on those other 8 people's ballots, if 8 other people had said, well, we at least think he's one of the 5 best pitchers in the league, he probably finished a 2nd where he should have. So that's my thoughts on that. Voters get it wrong. Luckily, these awards don't matter at all. And there's not actually a difference between 2nd and 3rd place. So Alcantara won, which was probably the right thing. I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about some potential tampering between the Mets and the Yankees regarding Aaron Judge. So Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Did you know that over the holidays, property crimes like burglaries and package theft spike nationally? That's why our friends at Simply Safe Home Security are offering 50% off their award-winning security system so that more families can feel safe and secure this holiday season. Order your Simply Safe system for half off today and enjoy advanced security and greater peace of mind this holiday season. It's a great feeling to have your home protected by a security system. I've mentioned before, last year when I was on vacation with my family, got an alert that somebody was moving inside my house. I pulled up the camera on my phone and was able to see, oh, it's just my neighbors feeding the cats like they're supposed to. That made me happy because that's what they were supposed to be doing. It let me know that I was safe. Simply Safe blankets your home with protection with advanced sensors for every room, window, and door, HD security cameras for inside and outside your home, smarter ways to detect motion that only alert you when a threat is real, and even hazard sensors that instantly detect fires, floods, and other threats to your home. 24/7 professional monitoring costs under $1 a day. That's less than half the cost of ADT's traditional professional installed plans. Don't miss this chance to save big when you protect your home with the best. Go to simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB today. Customize the perfect system for your home in just a few minutes. That's simplysafe.com/lockedonMLB. Go today. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, I am back. I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. We really appreciate it. And one little thing I want to talk about before I turn it over to Vince for the second half of this episode. Word came down on Wednesday night that that MLB is investigating, at the request of the MLB Players Union, investigating possible tampering. I think I talked about this on this show a couple weeks ago. There was an article that said that the Mets were not going to get into a bidding war with the Yankees over Aaron Judge because Mets owner Steve Cohen values his relationship with Yankees owner, whichever Steinbrenner it is, Hal Steinbrenner? I think it's Hal who's running it. Whichever Steinbrenner. Steve Cohen values his relationship and doesn't want to get into a bidding war over Aaron Judge. So basically it said the only way that the Mets would get involved in the bidding for Judge is if the Yankees backed out of it. And I didn't think about it at the time, but now reading about this, Ken Rosenthal's article on The Athletic, I realized, oh yeah, I'll just read. He says, an article published on the Mets television network's website November 3rd said that the Mets would not bid against the Yankees for Judge. Details in the story caught the attention of the Players Association, which asked the commissioner's office to investigate whether improper communication occurred between the respective owners of the clubs, according to sources briefed on the situation. And yeah, owners aren't allowed to talk about things like that. They can't say, oh, we won't bid against you for your guy. That's collusion. Owners have gotten in big trouble for this before. And another thing that the MLB is investigating or could be, I'll just read the next paragraph in Rosenthal's article. A separate comment by Astros owner Jim Crane on his team's website Tuesday saying Justin Verlander was seeking a contract similar to Max Scherzer's also could prompt scrutiny from the Players Association if the union perceives it to be a violation of CBA. Recent CBAs specifically prohibit the sharing of information on player contracts, saying, quote, players shall not act in concert with other players and clubs shall not act in concert with other clubs. The league in its investigation is expected to request that Mets owner Steve Cohen and Yankees owner Hal Steinbrenner provide records of any phone, text, and email conversations that took place between them during the period in question. And then the Jim Crane part, just because he's publicly saying what Justin Verlander is looking for in a contract, that's not allowed either. So it's in a way, it's kind of nitpicky, but also, I mean, MLB owners have gotten in trouble for this before. Hal Steinbrenner wasn't the Yankees owner then in the 80s when this was a big deal, but his dad was, and Hal was old enough to, you know, at least be aware of what was happening. And yeah, teams are usually pretty careful about this. It's not surprising that Steve Cohen, he's kind of a maverick and comes in and, you know, doesn't seem to care much about rules. He's, you know, he's just the rebel and wants to blow up the system. But the system exists for a reason. And it's kind of interesting and kind of hilarious that they're being investigated now for this. Who knows what will come of it? Probably nothing. It's probably... it might actually force Steve Cohen to get involved in the bidding for Aaron Judge just to to make up for it, to show, no, I'm on the up and up. So maybe it does drive up Judge's price for the Giants when they eventually sign him or whatever. But yeah, kind of interesting anyway. It's not really Dodgers related other than the fact that the Dodgers are, by virtue of having a lot of money, one of the teams linked to Aaron Judge, but I thought it was interesting enough to mention. So that's going to do it for me today. Vince is going to come. He's going to talk about the Teoscar Hernandez trade. He got traded from the Blue Jays to the Mariners. He's going to talk a little bit about that and why the Dodgers maybe didn't get in on that. But beyond that, that's it for me. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. It really does mean a lot to us, and Vince will be along in a minute.
BetOnline.net is the number one source for all your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. So head to BetOnline.net today on your laptop or mobile device and learn more about everything they have to offer. BetOnline, where the game starts. Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Vince here to close out the episode. And as Jeff alluded to, I wanted to talk a little bit about the trade that happened in the big leagues on Wednesday morning. The Mariners acquired Teoscar Hernandez from the Blue Jays in exchange for Eric Swanson, a reliever, and Adam Mako or Mako, pitching prospect. And it kind of got me thinking of, hey man, maybe why did the Dodgers get in on this? And maybe, you know, there's a few questions there of why they didn't. But, you know, first we'll kind of go over who Teoscar Hernandez is, for those who don't know. Outfielder who was obviously on the Blue Jays. He's been a guy that's been one of the best hitters in baseball, one of the best power hitters in baseball the last few years. He was an MVP candidate the last two seasons, or at least got some MVP votes. Silver Slugger 2020-2021. Missed some time and wasn't as good in 2022, but was still pretty good. If you remember, he had a big home run in the postseason, big bat flip, everything else. And yeah, it seems like for what the price the Mariners paid, the Dodgers could have got in on that, especially knowing that they, you know, they don't need a left fielder, but they could use a left fielder. And while Hernandez has played mostly right field, he's played left field before, and he could handle left field if they needed to. And, you know, right-handed bat, could stick a guy out there in left field every day. Does only have 1 year left on his contract, which is why the haul wasn't as much for the Blue Jays. But it was definitely a haul that I think the Dodgers could have matched easily. Eric Swanson's a reliever. He had not been really a good reliever until this past season, when he had a 1.68 ERA in 57 games pitched. But before that, he had ERAs of 3.31, 12.91, and 5.74 in varying degrees of or varying amount of games. Last year he was really good, but he's a 29-year-old reliever. And realistically, the Dodgers have a lot of relievers that they could have traded. You know, I don't know if, you know, Alex Vesia is probably better than this guy and younger, but other than that, you know, the Dodgers could have found one of their relievers to kind of get out there and take advantage of it. And the Mariners sold high a little bit on Swanson. The Blue Jays did need bullpen help, so it made sense in that end. And then when you go to the prospect that was traded, it's Adam, I'm going to say Mako, a left-handed pitching prospect, 21 years old, and kind of looking at his scouting grades, and he has a overall scouting grade of 45. He slots into the number 8 spot in the Blue Jays prospect list, but you would imagine, you know, the Dodgers prospect list is maybe a little stronger. You look at Carlos Duran, same age, 21 years old, a 45 overall scouting grade as well. That's probably a good comparison there. Now, the Dodgers, he's number 19 on the Dodgers list of prospects, and there's probably some guys, you know, above him that maybe obviously the Blue Jays would have wanted. But I do think that, you know, Carlos Duran was a guy the Dodgers could have protected, but they didn't end up doing it. And he's a guy that would have fit the role. So let's just say Carlos Duran, and then you try to find one of the relievers the Dodger had, or even a guy that's close to the majors in reliever. I guess they don't really have any relievers that are relievers specifically that are close to the majors. But you look at what they could have given up, and I don't think, you know, I don't think a guy like Phil Bickford gets it done. Phil Bickford struggled last year while Eric Swanson was really, really, really good. But, you know, someone in that sense, I don't think a guy like Evan Phillips works. You know, you could maybe throw in, you could think about Yency Almonte could be a guy you think about. That might be the best comparison, where been in the league a few years, struggled, had a really good year last year. So, you know, you got Yency Almonte, you got Carlos Duran. And as much as I love Almonte, I do think I would have, you know, tried to, if the trade was Yency Almonte and Carlos Duran for Teoscar Hernandez, I don't think I would have blinked twice. That would have been a good deal. The Dodgers would have got a guy with 30 home run power that they could slot into any part of their lineup. Realistically, more so the bottom part of the lineup, you know. What if this guy's your number six hitter, you know, behind, or your number five hitter? Because depending what they do at shortstop and what they sign at shortstop in order to fill out. But, you know, if Teoscar Hernandez is your number five or six hitter, your lineup's really, really, really good. And that's something that they could have went after. And it kind of, you know, we've talked about the Dodgers and kind of going after these guys before that maybe aren't the most heralded or the biggest names or anything else, but could have worked out. You know, we've talked about with the Blue Jays specifically, Kevin Gausman, you know, his deal didn't cost that much. You know, we've talked about, they didn't end up trading for Luis Castillo, but Luis Castillo's extension didn't cost too much. And this trade for a guy like Teoscar Hernandez wouldn't have costed too much in terms of, you know, capital, and would have filled a hole in a sense for the Dodgers. The Dodgers do have a hole in the outfield. They may have two holes in the outfield depending what they do with Cody Bellinger. And this just puts another for sure bat in the lineup. I mean, even this year when he struggled, he still had an 807 OPS, still had an OPS plus of 127. He's been above average in OPS plus since 2017, with the lowest of that being 105. And he still hit, you know, 26 home runs that year and still had a 778 OPS. So he's been a good hitter for a significant part of time. And he's a guy that, like I said, could have brought in for a year and stuck in your lineup and not have to worry about it. Now, this is not me saying that, you know, I don't trust the front office or I don't believe that they're going to do something or anything like that. But it's just, it's always interesting. You know, I wish we had like Andrew Friedman on speed dial and be like, hey, you know, were you guys in on this trade, or did you guys, you know, not in on this trade? Why not? Just to kind of see what the thought process is, because, you know, on the surface for us as fans, you see a guy like, you know, Hernandez traded, a guy that could fill a role for the Dodgers, and trade it for not that much or not that big of a deal. And you think about, man, the Dodgers could have done that. And we've seen some other trades in the past where some guys that could have filled the roles or, you know, could have made it work with the Dodgers, and they didn't make the move. And it's just, to me, it's just, you know, I wish I could ask Andrew Friedman, like, hey, were you guys in on this? You know, or was this something you were considering? Did you get outbid? Whatever the case is, you know, I would have, there was no links of Teoscar Hernandez getting traded, and then all of a sudden he was traded. After the trade came out, it was reported by one of the Spanish language reporters, Hector Gomez. He's a pretty big reporter at this point. He did report that Teoscar Hernandez was upset with the Blue Jays because they didn't offer him a contract extension or a multi-year deal. And I don't know if that meant he demanded a trade, or they just knew he was upset, or they knew they weren't going to offer him an extension. And, you know, maybe they just didn't want to have that on the roster, whatever the case was. It didn't seem like the Blue Jays, they already didn't have too much leverage on their end because he is a free agent after this season. But if it's someone that's, you know, looking to get out anyways, they lose even more leverage. And, you know, I think that's something the Dodgers could take advantage of, but you know, it's not the biggest deal in the world, just something that I wanted to touch on and bring up and, you know, kind of get the wheels turning for us and kind of other names out there that the Dodgers could go after that are maybe on a one, you know, have 1 year left on the contract. And something that I want to kind of look into now is, yeah, what other type of guys are there out there that only have 1 year that wouldn't cost too much prospect or player wise, and that could come in and help the Dodgers in a variety of ways. I think we'll probably wait till decide on what they're going to do with Cody Bellinger, because, you know, that kind of opens up center field's a big spot that opens up, you know, right away. If they don't tender Cody Bellinger contract and maybe say, or, you know, kind of announce that they're not going to bring him back, then maybe, you know, becomes something of, okay, well, Brandon Nimmo easily slots in there, would make sense, but it's kind of hard with the Dodgers to get a guy like Brandon Nimmo, because, you know, realistically, Mookie Betts is going to be your leadoff hitter. And last year they had Trey Turner as a number two hitter. And, you know, if you have a guy, if you bring in a guy like Brandon Nimmo, let's just say you got Mookie Betts, do you put Brandon Nimmo batting second, or do you, you know, have Freddie Freeman batting second? It's also going to matter of who they bring in at shortstop. If they bring in one of the top shortstops, those guys could easily slot in at the top of, well, Xander, Carlos, Correa, and Trey could slot in the top. Dansby Swanson, not so much. So then you got to, you know, the Dodgers have a lot of question marks in the lineup right now. We don't know what we're going to get out of Max Muncy. We currently don't know who's going to be playing third base. You know, Justin Turner is currently a free agent. And there's a lot of questions with the lineup that are going to get answered here in the next month, 2 months, 3 months before spring training starts up again. But it's just, you know, a lot of thinking, a lot of talking, a lot of figuring out what's going to happen. And you don't know exactly what's going to happen. And for the Dodgers, this is, you know, for the most part, the Dodgers have known or are going into, you know, last year, the Dodgers went in, they knew at the very least, obviously this changed with the Freddie Freeman signing, but they knew Max Muncy was going to be at first base. They knew Gavin Lux potentially was going to be at second base. They knew Trey Turner was going to be at shortstop. They knew Justin Turner was going to be at third base. They knew Cody was going to be in center. They knew Mookie Betts was going to be in right. They had a little bit, or they had Pollock for left field before they traded him before the season. And then they had Will Smith, the catcher. Now, you know, for sure, they had a lot of for sures last year heading into the 2022 season. This year, those for sures aren't as for sure. You got Freddie Freeman for sure at first base. You got Will Smith for sure at catcher. You got Mookie Betts for sure in right field. You got Gavin Lux probably for sure in the lineup. We don't know if it's going to be shortstop or second base. But other than that, you don't have any more for sures right now. You have, okay, Justin Turner could come back and play third base. Miguel Vargas could play third base. Edwin Rios could play third base. You know, there's different guys they could play there. They, you know, Miguel Vargas could play left field. Someone else could play left field. You know, Cody Bellinger might be in center field. He might not. James Outman might be a guy that they try out there. They might not. You know, Gavin Lux might be shortstop. He might not. You know, you have Max Muncy, who's a for sure, but that there's also the DH spot. And so there's a lot of question marks for the Dodgers lineup, which is, you know, I understand the people's call for pitching, but for pitching, you can build out a rotation pretty easily right now. You got Julio, you got Kershaw, you got Gonsolin, you got May, you got Pepio, you got Andre Jackson, you know, you got Michael Grove, you got Bobby Miller, and you got Gavin Stone. Any combination of those five, the Dodgers still have a pretty decent starting rotation. You know, relievers, even with Blake Treinen gone, you know, you have a handful of relievers. You got Almonte, you got, you know, these are some are better than others, but you got Almonte, you got Bickford, you got Brule, you got Ferguson, you got Victor Gonzalez, you got Gratterall, you got Daniel Hudson coming back, you know, you got Evan Phillips, and you got Vesia. Like, you can build out a pretty decent bullpen as well. What you're looking and questioning is the lineup. And that's where a lot of the, you know, we're waiting for a lot of questions to be answered. One of those questions will be answered tomorrow. We won't get to talk about it till Monday's episode, but one of those questions will be answered tomorrow with Cody Bellinger and what they're going to do there. And then, you know, you got the winter meetings the first week of December. Some stuff could happen there. But, you know, there's a lot of things we don't know about this Dodgers team right now that are going to be answered in the next couple months. And honestly, I'm excited. You know, the Dodgers, it was a disappointing end to a really great season. And, you know, sometimes you need some fresh blood, some turnover, some, you know, some differences out there. And, you know, that's something they can do. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On Sports Today for the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day. It's available wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube, which is where you can find us if you search for Locked On Dodgers, which is also how you can find us on Instagram and Twitter. You can find Jeff on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Amperio. DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.